Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and you are listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Today's guest, Lee Aaron, the Metal Queen, whose album is about to come out. So go support her, download her new record, and stay tuned for my exclusive interview with, well, not exclusive, I'm sure plenty of people have interviewed her, but my interview, Mark Striegel's interview, Talking Metal's interview with Lee Aaron. And hanging with me tonight in Midtown Manhattan, the one and only John Astronomy. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you. Thank you for doing the great interview with Lee Aaron. I remember her from a great photo on Kerrang! Magazine. One of the covers. Might have been the back or the inside back cover, but it was a cool photo, and I always remembered that. Metal Queen. Anyway, we're down in the 30s, very close to where I was originally from, and that means my second apartment. You remember that place, 90s, 32nd Street?
Absolutely. Many a late nights. One of my most vivid memories of that apartment is hanging with you and Sean Burns and I think Terry Kayamori watching the OJ chase on the TV live. And they had cut into the Knicks game or some basketball game. And we were watching that live in that apartment. I vividly remember that.
Absolutely. And I told that same story at work the other day. And guys, guess what? You guys are watching that show on, what channel is that new OJ show on?
FX, I think, yes.
FX, you are correct. It is FX. And we were there live, the Talking Metal crew, plus Terry Kayamori and Sean Burns of Roy's Baby, one of the greatest bands that ever hit Jersey, ever hit the Orpheus.
Yeah, a little inside talk there. But Roy's Baby was a band that John and I had pre-Captain T. And I have some of those songs that we've never thrown them out there on YouTube or in the digital format at all. And they're quite good, and we should do that someday. And maybe we'll even play one on the podcast soon.
Let me tell you, I was watching the Orpheus gig. Now, that was a former venue in New Jersey. I believe it was like Willow Avenue and maybe 14th Street, that area. And we did a song that I had done. It was like we had done two songs that weren't some of the songs that you might have heard that Mark and I have done before. One of them, I wasn't even sure what the title was, but it was really cool. So I went back, and some of this stuff is available on YouTube, and watched these again, Mark. Thank you for posting them. Tell these guys a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, one thing we did that night at the Orpheus in like the mid-90s was we covered Ace Frehley's Hard Times. And you know what? I'll post that in today's show notes if you want to see a young John and a young Mark playing the Kiss song Hard Times. We will post that in today's show notes. But yeah, John and I have done a lot of music through the years, and we keep saying we got to get back at it and do some more stuff, and hopefully one day soon we will. It would be nice to bring back the Talking Metal Jams, too. We haven't done one since 2012, So we should bring those back, too. But, yeah, we have a long musical history. And speaking of long musical history, Lee Aaron has a long musical history, and we're going to hear some of that tonight. Why don't we get into right now the Metal Queen song by the Metal Queen, Lee Aaron. This is going way back to the 1980s. Again, Lee Aaron, Metal Queen, here on Talking Metal.
That was Metal Queen by Lee Aaron right here on Talking Metal, hanging with Mark Striegel. We're eating. We're hanging out. New York City, the Midtown area, the 30s.
Right on. And let's keep the music going. Sounds so good. Why not? Stay tuned for my interview with Lee Aaron. But right now, Can I Play With Madness by Iron Maiden.
Can I play with madness?
That was Iron Maiden, Can I Play With Madness, one of my favorite bands, one of the bands that I've seen more than any other band. If you collect my ticket stubs, I have more Iron Maiden ticket stubs than any other band other than Ace or Kiss, of course.
Speaking of Iron Maiden, stay tuned because Lee Aaron has a great Iron Maiden story in this interview. There is a website that claims she toured with Iron Maiden. She didn't. She's going to clarify that on the podcast. But she does share a great story about Bruce Dickinson, and I believe it's Steve Harris. So stay tuned to hear that.
Now, Mark, why don't we get directly into your interview with Lee Aaron? Then we'll come back, and we'll play a little more music, and we'll talk a little bit more.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel of the Talking Metal podcast, and I'm honored to have on the line Lee Aaron. Lee, it's great to speak with you. We haven't had you on the show yet, and boy, I remember as a teenager seeing your pictures in the magazine and just hearing your music back in the Metal Queen days, and it's just a real honor to speak with you after all these years.
Well, there you go. I guess there's, you know, we have synchronicity now or something.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, you have had a massive career and a lot of you've gone down a lot of different roads, and you are musically, that is, and you're coming back now in 2012 after a long break. Your last record of new material was back in 2004. What can we expect with the new record, which is called Fire and Gasoline, and will be released in just a couple weeks, March 25th? Musically, what can we expect with Fire and Gasoline?
Well, it's interesting because I find it sometimes hard to be completely objective because it's me, right? It's my stuff.
Right.
But, you know, overall, I mean, it's a straight ahead. It's like a, I wouldn't say classic rock in the traditional sense of classic rock. It's a rock album. It's a traditional sounding rock album with modern elements to it. It,
because musically, you've done metal, you've done hard rock, you've done pop, done jazz. You've just been, you know, really, you're obviously very open to a lot of different styles of music. So you're, this one you're saying is probably more classic rock.
It's more straight ahead. It's straight ahead rock. It's a rock album with pop elements. I mean, I'm, you know, for me, you know, I've always been one of the main songwriter of my material. And, you know, to me, crafting great songs is about crafting something that people can connect with and that people are inspired to move their body to and to sing along with. And so I'm always trying to bring those elements of, you know, song craftsmanship into what I do. And I think as well, because even those, you know, deviations slightly this way and that way in style for me, it's the consistent thread has been my writing style and my voice. And so, yeah, this album definitely is a return to rock. But you know, you're going to see, there's like, someone was speaking to me about this a couple of days ago. There's like, you know, you see little elements of blues riffs creep in there, and you see little, there's pop overtones to some of this, the material. I think you can hear all of my influences on throughout the years on this record, but it definitely is a, you know, a hard driving straight ahead rock record, in the classic sense with, like I said, some modern elements. It's definitely not, a couple of my most successful records, especially here in Canada, were an album called Body Rock and an album called Some Girls Do in 89 and early 90s. And they were, again, straight ahead rock, but more in a corporate rock, you know, 80s corporate rock kind of sound. This album is definitely not a rehash of that sound.
Okay.
But you're going to hear some elements of that on it. You know, for me, that was the songs were the most important thing.
Absolutely.
On this album, that they were good songs.
Yeah, and we've heard the first single, which sounds great, Tomboy, and there's a cool music video out for that. Let's talk a little bit about the music video. Can you tell us who's in the video with you and a little bit about the video shoot and the story behind the video?
Sure. Well, the story behind the song, actually, is my daughter had approached me and said, "Hey mom, you know, are you going to write me a song?" Cause you know, for a few months, you know, it was me being completely distracted, head down on with at the piano or the guitar and in my project studio here. And, you know, them going, what is mom cooking down there? Right. And, so she was asking me and I'm like, yeah. Okay, sure. I'll write you a song. And, you know, it occurred to me a couple of days later, you know, you can't lie to your child. You have to, you know, I'm going to have to follow through on this. I'm going to have to write a song. And, you know, what I was really inspired by was that real unpretentious, unselfconscious energy that preteen, those 10-year-old girls, they're totally comfortable in their own skin. They're not caught up in the, you know, the trappings of beauty culture that our media foists upon them yet.
Right.
And they've just got this great energy and they're totally comfortable to be in your face and to be who they are. And then teenagerhood happens and you know what, you know, that's a totally different ball game.
Sure.
And that even carries into you, you know, your 20s and 30s, I think, as a woman, because you, you know, you're very, you can be, how do I explain it? Like, you know, our the culture that we live in, you know, just pushes this, you know, photoshopped perfect ideal on women. But then you get, you know, a more mature, you know, such as myself, and you don't, then you start not caring anymore, really, what anyone right. thinks. And so in a weird way, my daughter and I were kind of in the same place. So the song Tomboy is, you know, as it evolved through the writing process, is supposed to be really just a song of empowerment for anyone who's ever felt that they had to conform to a stereotype, a religious or societal or, you know, parental stereotype that wasn't comfortable for them. It's about being able to be free who you are, to be who you are without judgment. And when it came time to the video shoot, it just seemed like a logical choice to bring my daughter into it. And her and some of her school friends, I thought, you know, why, what a concept. My band will be, the backing band will be tomboys, actual tomboys from our neighborhood. Yeah. And so these girls were amazing, man. They just, they came in and we had like a few hours of rehearsal. They'd never sat behind a drum kit or picked up an instrument before. And they, it was amazing how well they faked it.
Yeah, no, it's a fun watch, and we'll definitely have it linked in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. Again, it's Tomboy, the first video and single off the new Lee Aaron record, which is called Fire and Gasoline, and we'll have the link up where you can pre-order the full record also in the show notes on talkingmetal.com. So Lee, you're obviously a mom. You have one daughter, or you have more kids? Is it just one daughter?
I have an 11-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son.
Okay. So their age, you know, is they're both very young, and you know, you really haven't done any music, I would say, since they've been born, right? Cuz 2004 was the last record you put out, at least. So are they aware of mom as a musician and a performer and a rocker?
Well, I'll preface that by saying, yes, 2004 was actually the year my daughter was born. So, yes, I've taken somewhat of a hiatus from recording because of the incredible amount of intensity and energy that it requires to write and record a whole project of an album, right? But in terms of do they kind of get it? Yeah, to some degree, probably more so now than when they were really little. I mean, the reality is, Mark, having children in general, it's an incredibly humbling experience. You're just the lady that makes the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, in the end. And I know that my son especially was most taken aback when it was about a year ago. There's a big new shopping mall here, and inside that shopping mall opened up a gigantic Lego store. And we were at the Lego store, and of course, there's this, like, you know, 45-year-old geeky guy who still loves Lego working behind the counter. And we get up there to buy something for my son, and he's just like, oh my God, Lee Aaron.
Oh, wow.
My son's going, why does the guy who works in the Lego store know who you are, Mom?
Yeah.
And then he got some free Lego. So my son was like, okay, you know.
Perks.
He was pretty stoked about the idea that he might get. All he cared about was getting the free Lego. He could care less that his mom's a musician.
Right. Well, that's probably pretty typical of most kids and their parents.
So
I wanted to go back in time a little bit. Back into the 80s when you first became known to teenage metalheads around the world. And looking back at that time, you know, now in rock and in metal and, you know, really all types of music, there are so many female front ladies and vocalists, and the female is a lot more prominent in the music industry than she was at that time, especially in hard rock. And can you talk about being a female in the 80s hard rock and metal scene? Was it hard to be taken seriously, or was it a good, you know, what were some of the pros and cons to being a female back in that scene?
Well, the pros were that there was really only a handful of us doing it. Me, right. Lita Ford, Joan Jett, Dharulpesh Girls School and I think a British band called Rock Goddess. There was literally a handful of us actually doing it and doing it well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I forgot about Rock Goddess. Yeah, that's right.
You know what? It's funny because I was talking to a British journalist about this yesterday because, yeah, that was one of my first British jams. I went and got got schnapped at a pub with those girls and we went back to their rehearsal space and yeah. And I was playing drums, believe it or not, that night. But anyway, so that was those were the pros, you know, you got noticed and that was good. However, there was always this sort of overriding feeling that, perhaps you were maybe just a novelty.
Yeah.
You know, because you were a woman and with some of the popularity of that, what ended up happening a couple of years, you know, down the road was that a lot more female sort of rock fronted bands were cropping up, but they weren't necessarily women that wrote their own songs. And do you know what I'm saying? And so,
yeah. Well, even like Vixen, their biggest song was Richard Marx wrote it, you know, and yeah, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And so there was artistry, if I can say that, got kind of sucked out of it. And, you know, and that was sort of, you know, symptomatic of what was going on with just the corporate record industry in the 80s anyway, was that, you know, there was a lot of money to be invested and thrown around. And so, you know, there was a little bit of that, you know, band creation happening where, you know, well, we've got this band and we've got this good looking girl and she can sing and let's put them together and let's find some songs. And so that kind of, I think watered down a bit of the purity of it, if that makes any
right.
sense.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Now the fashions of the 80s, which, you know, I look back at the pictures of the outfits now and, you know, I'm really tickled by them and miss them in a way. How do you look back on some of those fashions that you definitely embraced on, you know, in some of the photo shoots for Kerrang! Magazine and all the rest?
We're talking about fashion now?
Yes.
Okay. You're the first person who's asked me about that. So, you know, what can I say? It was timely. And I've said this many times, it's timely as opposed to timeless. You know, I look back and I kind of laugh because, I had the big hair and I did my cool pink leather jackets and things like that. But, you know, the spandex and the scarves and the whole, you know, it was what was fashionable. Right. At that time, and that's what everybody was doing, and you know, we all had the big bangs and the ice myth going on. I kind of look back at it with a bit of you know, some affection. You wouldn't catch me dead wearing something like that now, but
right.
But you know, it sort of represented, you know, in a nostalgic way, you know, an era in time that we'll never get back again, you know. Right. And now apparently it's actually kitschy to do the 80s, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can go into like an Urban Outfitters and they're selling some of that stuff again and people are buying it. So,
well, totally. So, well, it comes full circle, right? That's
right,
what happens.
On. Definitely. Now, back in those times, you played many, many shows, but I specifically wanted to ask you about the times, the concerts that you shared the stage with Iron Maiden. Any memories of playing with Maiden? Any good stories that you could share?
All I can tell you was we were playing my one, of course, big experience with them is that we were playing a nightclub in New York called L'Amour and in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And I think they were in town recording the Power Slave album. And I don't know how they had heard about us because I didn't really have, I didn't have an official release in the States. We had sold quite a few albums as an import through a little independent record store in New Jersey there. And they got wind that we were playing, and it was a packed evening, and they came down, and the next thing you know, I'm on stage, and someone, one of my crew comes up and says, you know, Iron Maiden is here, and Steve and Bruce want to get up and jam. And I was, I don't know, 21 years old or something like that. So wow. this was absolutely mind blowing for me. Yeah. I'm like, these guys were like, you know, rock idols to me. And so, yeah, they got up and they jammed a couple of songs at the end of our set. And, what I remember most was just watching Bruce sing and the veins popping out of his neck and just being just enamored by the how the control of his pitch that he had and just the power in that incredible voice, you know. And then we had, you know, we spent quite a few hours after just hanging out and talking to them in the dressing room. And you know, I remember at that time really connecting with Bruce and going, wow, like he's just a really down to earth, intelligent man as well. And so it was just one of those, you know, I've met many rock stars throughout the course of my career, and some of the meetings weren't as, you know, I was disappointed by my idols,
right?
But this certainly wasn't one of those circumstances. I was more endeared to them after that. They were just great guys.
Right on. And did you go on tour with them then at all? Were you opening up? No. Okay.
No, I think that's a bit of an urban legend.
Okay. Okay. But there was a time at L'Amour's in New York where they got up on stage and jammed with you. Do you remember what songs you guys did?
Oh, boy.
Covers, I'm guessing?
I think we actually did Tush by ZZ Top.
Oh,
that
wow.
sticks in my head. And probably, I think we did Rock and Roll by Zeppelin. So, yeah, we did covers because they were common, you know, common songs we both knew.
Right on. Cool. And what about, let's kind of circle around to modern times again and talk about Fire and Gasoline. What about the musicians playing on the record with you? Is there a set band for the record and potentially also maybe live dates?
Well, I'm always going out in Canada. I get offers all the time to play up here. So, and yes, I do have a band, and they are my live band. My live band played on my album.
Okay.
So, and so my band consists of John Cody, who actually is my husband. He's the drummer.
Nice.
Dave Reimer is my bass player. Dave's played with everybody from Barney Bentall to Bryan Adams and quite a few other notable Canadian acts. He's my bass player, and he's also the background vocal voice that you hear along with myself on Fire and Gasoline. He's a great singer. And Sean Kelly is my guitarist. And Sean, for quite a few years, played with Nelly Furtado as well.
Right. Yeah.
He's an amazing player, and Sean is also a writer, and Sean co-wrote 5 of the songs on the album with me as well.
Cool. Yeah, I saw him like play in a band called 4x Fate. I don't know if you know that, which is like Ace Frehley's ex-band or something, but Sean was playing with them for a while, and great player.
He is. I met Sean when he was involved in the 4x Fate thing. So I'm not quite sure the circumstances as to why he's not playing in that band anymore, but I feel absolutely blessed to have him. Sean is in my live band as well.
Very cool. And when you go out and you play shows, you know, your husband is the drummer in the band. So do the kids come with you?
Once or twice they've come along with us. For the most part, the kind of touring that I've done up until this point hasn't been and like hit the road and like you're 20 and go out there for, you know, 8 weeks at a time. What I've done is have been doing consistently is pockets of shows. So, you know, we'll get a festival in, you know, for instance, you know, we did Sweden Rock a couple of years ago. And, you know, we go over for a few nights at a time. I'll go out for 4 or 5 nights and come back, be home for a while, then go back out. So that's the nature of the touring. You know, a few years ago, I played with the Wilson sisters with Heart. Right. I opened up for them up here in Canada, and Nancy Wilson and I had this whole conversation about, you know, when your kids are this age, we call it being a weekend warrior, where you're playing all the time, but it's more like weekend warrior. You're doing 2 and 3 power shows at a time, coming back home, then going back out, then coming back home. And, you know, it's a way to make it workable and still be able to be out there for the fans as well. And so far, it's worked really well.
We're going to get into some new music off of Fire and Gasoline right now. This is, again, the new album by Lee Aaron, available March 25th. And this song is called Tomboy. Lee, thanks so much for joining us on Talking Metal.
Yeah, that's awesome, Mark. Thanks so much. It was nice talking to you.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
My car. I'm like the hidden candy in your cookie jar. I'm like the lightning tail of a shooting star. I'm the 40 proof stuff in your mini bar. I like to wear my boyfriend's belt and nice and low. I'm more like Greta Garbo than Marilyn Monroe. What I like in fantasy.
What you just heard was my interview with Lee Aaron, recorded a few weeks back, and that, what you just heard right there, that music was some brand new Lee Aaron music. So a big thanks to Lee Aaron for joining us here on the podcast. It's always great to speak with someone we've never had on before. It's always great hanging with John Astronomy in Midtown Manhattan. How are you, dude? We got to do a toast, right?
Let's do a talking metal toast right here. You're going to hear it. I'm drinking some Buckler's non-alcoholic beer. Just kidding.
All right. Yeah, I'm drinking some Sam Adams draft. Tastes good. I got a grilled cheese in front of me, which I'm about to devour. And we are having a great time talking metal style. Please use those Amazon links. Support us. Please go check out my friend's new EP. Damon Johnson plays with Thin Lizzy, Brother Kane. Who else? Black Star Riders, of course. One of the best records of last year, Black Star Riders. He's such a talented guy. He's got a new EP out, which I urge you to check out. We're going to play some of it on a future podcast. But in the meantime, go check it out. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes and all that good stuff. Support Talking Metal with a PayPal donation or use our Amazon links to make your purchases on Amazon. You guys know how that works. You go to our site first, talkingmetal.com, then click over to Amazon. Now, a friend of mine, Aaron, worked with this band in the studio, Eyes of One. We're going to end with one of their new tracks. Aaron is a great guy. He plays in Frank Hannon's side band. Frank Hannon from Tesla has a side band called Frank Hannon Band. Aaron plays with them. He's actually been on Talking Metal, Aaron. But anyways, he worked with these guys behind the board in the studio. They're Eyes of One, and I think this song is just awesome. It's called Never Tried, and it is good stuff. Signing off from Midtown Manhattan with John Astronomy. Catch John on tour with Ace, right?
Yep, resuming in Pontevedra, Florida on April 1st, and another leg of the 2016 Origins World Tour.
Good stuff. I heard a link, or I heard some samples of the new songs. They just sound great. The cover songs by Ace. Paul, of course, singing on the one song. What song is that, John?
Paul sings on Fire and Water, which is a great track by Free.
John 5 does some great work on the record, too.
Absolutely. And guess what, Mark? I have a really cool thing to tell you. I did a photo session with Ace where I was in one particular picture, but I'm kidding. I didn't do the photo session. I was there, but I appeared in one photo. But guess who did appear in the photos? Slash.
Breaking news. Wow. Slash and Ace. Where is that going to appear? Do you know? Or can't you say?
That is going to be on the cover of a very popular magazine very soon.
All right. Well, we'll look for that. Thanks, John. And thanks, guys. This is Eyes of One with Never Tried. Go support these guys. We'll link their Facebook page and site through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com.
Can't say I never tried. Yeah. Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.